Of course, you begin with Mark 11. Let's turn over there. Now, I want you to notice this. When Jesus on the morrow they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereupon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Chris, would you play that in the classic Amplified, please? Something I want to show you. They have a note about that. And seeing in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find any fruit on it. For in the fig tree, the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves. Can you see that? Yeah. At the same time of the leaves. But when he came up to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the fig season had not yet come. What, don't you think he would have known? That's none of my business. He walked over there to see if there's any, there were leaves there. He walked over there to see if there was anything on it. Now notice this. He answered. He spoke back to that tree. That tree said, you're not getting any food here to me today. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. 9 words. His disciples heard it. Seeing a fig tree afar off, they heard him say it. So he shouted at that tree. Now, what were the clothing the first couple tried to make to clothe themselves? So I present to you that the fruit was not an apple. They didn't show apple leaves. It was a fig leaf. It was a fig. And I have to pretty well agree. Oh, those things are good. It's very tempting. Just to load up on figs. And in the Middle East, the only fig trees I've ever seen have been quite small. But in the Middle East, they get huge. They're great big trees. And he just spoke to it and left. Now, I want you to notice this. Hereafter forever, and his disciples heard it, and they came to Jerusalem. He's turned his back on it. It was over. It was not his decision about how it died. I want you to get this now. There just wasn't anybody ever going to eat fruit of it again. If that tree was still standing there today and leaves on it every year, there would never be another fruit, not one more fig on it forever. He spoke to it and turned his back and walked away. Now, he went on to Jerusalem and he went into the temple. Now, he had gone in there before, the day before. Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. When he looked round about upon all things, and now the evening was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Now, let's put this together. He was hungry. Do you suppose he didn't eat before he left Bethany? I don't know. It just said he's hungry. But I know him. He went into that temple and walked around in there listening to his father about, I'm not so sure they knew he was there. He just walked in there and observed. And I can't prove this. You can't prove he didn't. But we can follow his fundamental example. I expect he got up very early and prayed about the message he was going to preach in that temple the next day. Because he had something to say. And he had the scriptures. He said, is it not written? He had a text for everything he preached. And so, man, he left early, and by the time he got there, he was hungry. Then he walked up to that tree, and then he went on to the temple, began to cast out them that bought and sold, overthrew the money, the tables of the money changers, the seats of them that sold doves, would not suffer that anyone could carry any vessel throughout the temple. He taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? You've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, that's my kind of guy. He preached all day. I've only done that a few times. But it seemed like he did that a lot. When evening was come, that the cleaning of the temple was not that was not the assignment. The cleaning of the temple was to get it out of there so you could preach there and set it straight that it's a house of prayer. It's the temple in Jerusalem. Are you listening to me? Do you think that they walked past the man at the beautiful gate? Of course they did. And that's the reason when he looked at Peter and John, he looked at them expecting to receive something. Because he's thinking, here are my boys. And they've always done that. They've always given to me as they walked in here. And Peter said, silver and gold I have I none, but such as I have I give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Hallelujah. Amen goes right there. Amen. Connect the dots. Go widescreen with it. Spend some time meditating on these things and tie them together. And on the morrow they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, now there's 12 hours there. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Cross-reference says, have the faith of God. So he demonstrated faith to them on that tree. It cost that tree its life. But here was a grand opportunity to put straight what happened in the garden. Amen. Amen. So have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily, do you ever wonder what verily means? Have you? Why didn't you look it up? I keep telling you about the Blue Letter Bible. You know what it means? Amen. 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 And he two verilies. Amen. Amen. What's that mean? So be it. So be it. You listening to me? So be it. Verily. Amen. I'm telling you. Glory to God. Say amen.
Amen.
Say verily.
Verily.
For amen, I say unto you, whosoever. This is a whosoever thing. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I live in that all the time. I use it a lot, a lot, a lot about a lot of things in my daily life. But he's not done yet. I want you to notice here now. Immediately, that is a fundamental principle of faith. Immediately, David, he used it. I say unto you, Whosoever shall say to the mountain, I say to you, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, you believe you receive it and you will have it. And when you stand praying, you forgive if you have aught against any. Amen. Amen. He put that fundamental into motion and then he said it. And when he did that, he set up a fundamental principle of the laws of faith. Amen. And you take away any of that and it doesn't work. When you stand praying, forgive. Well, Brother Copeland, that's going to take a while. Well, how long are you going to stand? 2 weeks, 3 weeks? You can't sit down now. You have to stand. No, don't be going to the house and going to sleep. It's all part of that same system. It's connected. And so, verse 23 is dependent on verse 24, and 24 is dependent on 25, and 25 is dependent on 26. Yes. Now this, he is establishing. All of these things had already been written. But he is establishing. Now, think about this. He is training a group of men. He's going to turn the world over to them. They don't know it yet. They think we're just going to kick Rome out and set up the kingdom of God. They didn't have a clue about what was about to happen. But he does. He knows exactly what he's doing. And so he's setting things in order. And as they went, then 70 more. Now turn with me to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. When he had called him the 12 disciples, he gave them power, authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then it gives their names. Go not into the way of the Gentiles and in the city of the Samaritans enter you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely give. You freely you've received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes. Oh, see there, they were so poor. No, the workman's worthy of his hire. So that's very simple. He said, you're my staff now. You're going to work for me. And in the book of Luke, we got down to the end. He said, when I told you not to take anything, did you lack anything? They said, no, Lord, we lack nothing. And at any rate, I wanted you to see his priority. Look where he put healing. Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also. One translation said he ordained another 70 and sent them two by two. And go your way. I'll send you forth as lambs among wolves. No shoes. And salute no man by the way. Whatsoever house you say peace to this house. Now, then he said, heal the sick that are therein. Say unto them, the kingdom of God has come unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, they receive you not. Go your way into the streets and come and say, even the dust of their feet cleave on you and so forth. He that hears you, hears me. He that despises you, despises me. He that despises me, despises him that sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. He said unto them, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. He's training people. There's coming a time when he is going to defeat hell. He's going to take that. He said, I saw the devil fall. Just rejoice, your names are written in the book. Well, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, now, Gloria and I had salvation here and healing somewhere along here. And it hit us. No. 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. It was all at the same time. He bore our sins and our sickness and diseases at the same time. It was on the same day, on the same cross. So we're obligated to not only just preach salvation, but I'll tell you what, in churches where they preach salvation, that's what they have.
Yes.
Preachers, whether they preach salvation and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they have both. Whether they preach the gifts of the Spirit, they have both. Whether they preach healing, they have all three. Amen. But you're only going to get there what you preach there.
That's right.
When you read that in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Don't read one verse. Read it all. It was because they rejected knowledge. And the reason why, the priests weren't preaching it.
Oh, that's good.
So whose fault was it? Not God's. Not the people's. The priests. There's going to be some pastors and evangelists that should be preaching it and are not.
Yes.
Now there are those that obviously that believe that but are not called to preach that. And I could go into that because I know the background and so forth. So every person is responsible for before God about what they preach. I used to just jump up and preach the only thing I'd see in there, and the Lord said, I didn't tell you to do that.
That's good.
Oh, okay. But now these are the things I'm going to hold you responsible for. I'm going to hold you responsible for the laws that govern prosperity and success, spiritual prosperity, physical prosperity, financial prosperity, and all the things that the blessing of Abraham covers. Can you say amen to these things? These are the fundamentals of faith, and they work. So stand up with me, please. Lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I call myself strong. I call myself well. I call myself thrilled over the gospel. I'm strong in faith. I stagger not at the promises of God. But like Abraham, I'm strong in faith, giving glory to God. I believe his word. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'm a child of the King. I am a child and a prince of the Lord. He is King of Kings. I'm one of the kings he's king of. Oh, come on, give the Lord a shout. Praise God.
As a believer, you already meet all the qualifications to being an overcomer. If you're feeling beat down in any area, professionally, socially, physically, or mentally, faith is the key to stepping over into the victory side. In the audio series, Faith, How It Works, Kenneth Copeland's teachings can help you grasp God's faith formula that is found in the Word of God. Get your questions answered through this important foundational teaching. What is faith and where does it come from? Who has faith? How do you get more faith? How can faith help you live a better life? No weapon of the enemy is a match for faith released. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and speaking the Word releases faith. Take the first steps toward living a God-pleasing life full of love, hope, and victory by receiving this impactful teaching into your heart today. Learn how to use the world-overcoming faith God has given you. The weapons of the enemy are no match for faith when it's released. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's MP3 series, Faith, How It Works, on kcm.org/tvspecial, or when you call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you are outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
My name is Dan Harden, and this is my wife, Suzanne. And we're right here in Fort Worth, Texas, is where we're from. God really spoke to me. That was when COVID was really coming on the scene here in the United States. And God really spoke to me about really immersing myself in healing scriptures. And come 2021, it was time for me to have my, you know, I'm at that age where every guy is, to have that procedure done, colonoscopy. So I went in, and when I woke up, I'm still kind of out of it. I'm still recovering from being sedated and everything. And he's like, we've got a problem.
My shield of faith just went up like, oh, that is not how we're going to start this conversation. I don't think so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he sat there and he said, well, he said, we found something. And he said, my 17 years of doing this, I just know it's cancer.
So that weekend, he got the call. And I remember we were crossing the house in the living room. And it was the call that we were waiting for, but didn't want, but we needed to know. And something just rose up from the bottom of my belly. And looking back now, I realize it's 30 years. I first heard Miss Gloria talk about our covenant, and I didn't realize how deep it was in me until he got off the phone and he said, they said it's cancer. And I was shocked what came out my mouth. I said, it doesn't change anything.
No.
Because I knew our covenant.
Yeah.
And I could visually see in my mind's eye that diagnosis doesn't change our covenant. The covenant is already ours, and the only thing that's going to change is his body.
Yep.
Has to.
Yep. Exactly. And so we had the surgery, and the surgeon came in afterwards and said, I got everything. He says, everything looks great, but he says, I sent it off to pathology. He says, look, we're going to get, confirmed, what it is. And so it came back. It was stage 3 colon cancer. And he says, the only reason it was stage 3, because if there was one more lymph node, it would have been stage 4. And I just looked at him. I said, I'm going to go ahead and do the chemo. But I said, I'm going to do it in faith. I'm not going to let the devil control everything. And I wanted it to do exactly what it was made to do, no more, no less. It wasn't going to affect my weight. I wasn't going to lose hair. I wasn't going to get sick. And I didn't. Every morning I would wake up and I would anoint myself. Every day I would anoint myself, top of my head and the bottom of my feet. And I would read Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all my destructions. Man, just being immersed in the word of God and just being soaked into it, to the point where no matter what, if anybody said anything negative, the word just came out. The word just came out. No, this is what the word of God said. This is what God said. This is for me. And so that's what we did. And we did that together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just in our home. I mean, anytime you came in our home, you heard worship music or teaching was going on. We had victory on. And so that's set here today, completely healed of cancer. Nothing's in me. Nothing's in me. I mean, it's been confirmed by CT scans and blood scans.
And DNA.
And DNA. It's not there.
Our words were so careful, because we've learned that through this ministry.
Yes, we have.
We've learned the power in our words, and we weren't going to release the wrong power over our circumstances. And we knew that because of this ministry. We knew that because what Brother Copeland and Miss Gloria have taught.
Yes.
We were undergirded by the prayers and the support of this ministry. And it gave us a strength and our foundation to stand on.
Yep. And knowing that being partners, you know, Brother Copeland's praying for you. He's got, a whole prayer department praying for his partners every day. And just knowing that, it was just, how can you lose?
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Courage comes from faith in God and trusting His Word. It comes from believing what God said and not what the circumstances may look like. Whereas discouragement, fear, and doubt come from listening to the lies of the enemy. There is God's way of doing things and the world's way. And you get to decide which system you'll live under. Making the choice to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior leads to a blessed life where there is peace, strength, and wisdom from God. It's time to be excited about life and look forward to the future without fear. Jesus came to give you life in all of its fullness, spirit, soul, and body. Ask Him to come into your heart today. Pray with me. Lord, I confess my sins before you. I turn my life over completely. Take over and be the Lord of my life. I receive you as my Savior. I receive your Holy Spirit. Thank you that I'm born again. I'm filled with new life. Amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. God's plan for you includes good things. To help you learn more, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to give you some free resources called the Salvation Package. It includes a book called He Did It All For You, and there's also some information in the package to help you start reading and studying your Bible. Find out who you are in Christ and what it means for Christ to be in you. It's important to get your identity from the Word of God, so read your Bible every day and learn who He has called you to be. To request your free salvation package, go to kcm.org. While you're online, you'll find many teaching resources available to you free on topics such as health, healing, prayer, and prosperity. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we sure love you, and Jesus is Lord.
If you received Jesus into your heart and made Him the Lord and Savior of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to welcome you to the family of God. They have a gift for you called the Salvation Package to help you understand more about your new life in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation.